Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
We thank you, Father, and we thank you for your presence here with us already this morning. We pray that we are able to really worship you, exalt the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, that we can be here with each other and share life with each other in your presence. Open our hearts, Lord, to what you want us to hear today in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Please take a seat. Thank you, worship team.
Super awesome.
I really love Papua New Guinea. I really love its places. I really love its people. I really, really do. Today I want to share with you briefly a story that I have never told in its entirety in this church, but one which I will try and tell briefly for you about the story of our PNG church. It's not so much as a sermon this morning as a testimony to God's faithfulness, and I pray it's a blessing to you. Of course, there are too many stories to tell in 32 years of ministry in that country. I apologise up front for the quality of some of the photos you'll see this morning. We didn't have Instagram filters back in the day or smartphones, and so we've had to sort of, you know, go through closets in the last week or so looking for... Remember those things you used to get, like what are they called? Photos on paper and then digitise them and stuff. And yeah, so it's been a challenge, but we did it. I want to share with you what God has done and what God is doing, because to me that's the most important thing. And we're going to launch today the I Heart PNG, the I Love PNG appeal. We've never done an appeal just for the church before like this, but we're going to launch the I Heart PNG Christmas appeal over the next month, and I want to share with you at the end of the message about that. But we're at the beginning, and that's a very good place to start, according to Mary Poppins, anyway. So let's begin at the beginning. And just to orient people who may not be familiar with geography, weren't paying attention in Form 4 or whatever it was that you went to, let's have a look at the map. The PNG is top right-hand corner. That yellow section is actually Papua New Guinea. To the left of that is Indonesia and West Papua and Eyre and Jaya and those places, but we work in the little yellow section, which is a country called Papua New Guinea. It's only 6 kilometres off the Australian coast at its closest island point. It's 150 kilometres from the mainland of Australia, the closest point of Australia to their capital, Port Moresby, and from here, it's 3,000 kilometres away, one way. So let me just give you a bit of the history, and it really centres around this guy, whose name is Kiap. He was born in 1957 in the village of Lumis, which is really in the centre of that Papua New Guinea, in the Western Highlands province. He was born Kiapo Trakaloa, one of five, who grew up in a village that had Australian Baptist missionaries in it, and he really loved it, he tells me, to go and help the minister, you know, set up for church on Sundays or follow him around, you know, the village. He was probably that little pesky kid that sort of follows like the youth leader around, you know. But he loved doing that and became like the altar boy, I suppose, of the village. He was a very special guy. When he grew up, he became a lay worker and worked in that village and in other villages in Southern Highlands for many years for the Baptist Church. And then he became a chaplain at the Bayer River Hospital. This is a typical village house you can see on the screen, pretty common all throughout Papua New Guinea, very simple wood and thatch kind of building. That's the kind of building that he grew up in. But he became chaplain at the Bayer River Hospital. And when he was there, he met an Australian man who was seconded there just for 12 months as an administrator. He's a white guy, the late Ray Bainon, who had left his job as an accountant and decided to work up in those highlands in the hospital to help them out for a year with his wife, Joy. On their return to Australia, Ray and Joy joined our church, which was in Langwarrin back in the day. He told us about Kiap, and he said, look, I think we should support him. This is a guy who I know is really faithful, and you know, he's got a family, and he wants to come all the way down to the capital city to become a pastor and study at Bible college, but he can't afford the school fees. And so we decided we would send the school fees. I think it was all of like $200 or $300 for a whole year back in those days. So we did that, and we sent that for several years to help him go through Bible college. That was 1988. That's where the journey begins. Some years passed, and Kiap, he finished Bible college, and he joined the staff of a local Baptist church in Port Moresby. And we continued to connect with him on a regular basis. We began sending clothes and Bibles and other things so that he could do outreach work in the settlements around the church. And he began to develop a heart for what's known as the urban poor, which are people who come from the highland villages to the city looking for jobs and, you know, to make it, and then they land in these sort of places, which are just shanty towns, and realise that there's no jobs, there's no running water, there's no toilets, there's not a lot of food, they can't grow gardens because they don't own the land, and it just develops and gets worse from there. But he was developing a heart for these people. 70% of the city live in these settlements, which are like shanty towns, not unusual in Southeast Asia, or some of our South African friends may be familiar with them in that country as well. The one that captured Kiap's heart is one by the name of Vada Vada. Now, if you think, we've ever heard that name Vada before, we named our cafe after this little settlement, which is where it began for us to connect with Papua New Guinea as Vada Cafe. Vada Vada is the settlement. It's still there. It's near Kiap's house. It's a social hothouse for crime and violence of every kind, theft, drug abuse, rape, child abuse. The children there are largely go uneducated their whole life. They are malnourished. And the death rate of children under five in that area is about 63 per thousand. Now, I don't know how many of you in nursing profession, but you would know that Australia's rate is 4 per 1,000. So it's 15 times or more worse than Australia at its worst. There's no running water. There are just pit drains, no proper toilets. And even among adults, sickness and disease is rife. Malaria, TB, amoebic dysentery kill people every day, including adults. And there's no welfare system in the country, you know, no job search money, no payments for this or that if you're a single mother, or there's no medical, there's no Medicare, there's no public health system at all. There's a hospital, but no support systems for the poor. So in the absence of a welfare system, people survive on the sales of what they call betel nut, which is an illegal herbal narcotic which is grown in the bush and then chewed. It gives you like a marijuana kind of effect. It stains your mouth red impermanently. And they sometimes grow vegetables, or you can see on the left there, I think they're noodles on that table, Maggi noodles they sell, trying to get some cash to survive on in local markets. Now, Kiap became restless in the church that he joined, not because it was a bad church, but because it was mainly to white expatriates and a small, very, very small middle class of local people who had jobs. Only about 20 or 30% of people in that country have jobs of any kind. And so while many people lived around him in severe poverty, here he was ministering to nice people in the church. And these were different people to Kiap. They weren't of his tribe. In PNG, there are over 800 different tribes with different languages, different religions, different customs, different practices, different songs, different headdresses, different land where they live, totally foreign to each other, not just dialects of the one language. It's multilingual. And most of them cannot communicate with each other. Now, Vada Vada, which is where Kiap had a heart for, was a settlement which had many, 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 many of those tribes coming together. And you can imagine the clashes that happened in that impoverished situation where communication is zero. And Vada Vada is known in Port Moresby as the most violent, crime-infested area of town. It still is. I go there regularly, and I can confess that it is still a very hazardous place to be. The story goes that after praying for courage, because I think anybody would need courage, even a local, Pastor Kiap walked into the settlement and found the local leader and asked whether he would like a church to start there. The leader's name was Chief Francis. He was not yet a Christian, but he welcomed Kiap because he thought a Bible study in his hut might help the people. And this is his hut. He was a rich man, you see. He had a hut. This is the chief's. Now, that's knocked down now, but that's what it was like back in the day. He thought it would have a good influence on the people. And within a month, Chief Francis, his wife and all his children had become Christians, accepted Christ and were starting to spread the word of Jesus through the settlement because of who they had discovered in God was far greater than any of their religions could ever be. And they formed the core of the first Gateway Church in Papua New Guinea. And soon many others were to follow the faith. Just as a little side story, there were two guys that day when Kiap first walked in, sitting up on a hill overlooking the settlement. And they saw this guy walk in, like, who's this stupid guy? What's he doing? And, hey, he's got boots, we'll steal them. And I see he's got a watch, we'll take that. And he's got a Bible, we can probably flog that in the market. And they were sitting up there waiting to mug him on his way back out. And one of the guys, whose name is also Francis, a different guy, told me later that when he and Vincent were sitting up there, Kiap came back out and he said, I just felt like something was stopping us from going and attacking him. And Vincent said, no, no worry, we'll get him tomorrow. So tomorrow, they're in the same place, Kiap comes in, they want to go down and attack him. Now let's do it on the way out, so there's no one he sees. Comes to that time, they felt like there was a hand on their head stopping them. Now, Francis and Vincent later on came to Kiap and said to him, what's so special about you that we can't mug you? What's stopping us from doing that? Those two men became Christians pretty much on the spot. Both of them went to Bible college. Both of them are now still in ministry as missionaries and pastors in that country. Just a little by story. I didn't tell that at the 9 a.m. You get that for free. I got 100 of those stories, hundreds of them. Later, Chief Francis and Kiap and I became known as the Three Amigos. Francis is in the middle there. He's passed now, a very elderly man. But I just note that at that stage, early stage, I hadn't figured out for a white man to blend in, you shouldn't wear white. A little bit obvious, but that was 1993. That's a long time ago. All right. The number of converts soon reached to over 100 adults and squillions of children. One of them was actually a local landowner. They don't have land like you can go and buy a block of land here. It's all very, very Marbo there, but you have to have permission of a landowner. And he donated an area in the settlement for a church. And Kiap organised a church building, which is this basic huge carport on a concrete slab. That is the first Gateway Church in Papua New Guinea, in Vada Vada. There were no other churches in that settlement, none at that time. I think there's a couple now, but at that time, there were none. Basically, people came to hear stories about Jesus. PNG people love to hear stories and tell stories, and they'll stay up all night just telling stories. And they came to put their children in Sunday school because most of the children weren't going to school. There was no places in school. They couldn't get to school because they were illiterate. And so they realised that the Sunday school was helping socialise their children and helping to educate them at a very basic level, like we would in a playgroup with our kids perhaps here these days. And so hundreds of kids came to this little church. And, of course, people were receiving practical assistance from Kiap as well. Now, as I said, at that time, pretty much no one was doing this kind of work in Port Moresby City. The big churches certainly weren't reaching into the slums, let alone doing the urban cross-cultural work that Pastor Kiap and the people there in Gateway PNG were doing. This is 1995, still a long time ago. A little bit later, I had the privilege of travelling to Vada Vada with Marcy to dedicate the building and to commission Kiap as the church's senior pastor. He was still on the staff of the other church, but he was doing this in his spare time. And so we had the privilege of, I don't know who those two young guys are. I think I recognise one of the guys on the right, but I'm not sure. That's just a very, very special time. On that trip, Marcy and I were invited by local leaders, Chief Francis and a few others, to attend the funeral of a service of a young man who had died in a tribal fight. And it's called a house cry. And you actually, people come from all over to sit with the family and cry with them until the family stop crying. It's just their tradition. It can last 5 to 7 days. Kiap told us, that's us just sitting on the sidelines observing what was happening. They don't have a funeral service like we have. Kiap told us that we were the first white people ever to attend a funeral at Vada Vada. And we realised what an honour that was, straight up. And that people were beginning, we were beginning to gain their trust after working there a few years now and being there a few times. They started to recognise us and there was a bit of trust there. And Chief Francis told me later that people had noticed that Kiap and I came many times to that settlement and just sat with them in the dirt and brought scones and water and shared food and shared stories to anybody who would want to come and have a scone, which is like a white bread roll, and some water. And he said most whites never came to that area and most people had never talked to a white man before I got there. Which is kind of funny when you think it's the city, but there have been missionaries, hundreds of missionaries in Papua New Guinea, particularly in the highlands, who have done great work. So I'm not pretending these are unreached people. I'm just saying living in a city, they never had a white man come into their settlement and sit on the dirt with them. And this was a really important lesson for me in cross-cultural ministry. It's not so much what we go there to do, it's more important that we go there and be there and share with them. That's 1997. Now, along the way, Gateway Australia has made Papua New Guinea our total mission focus. We believe led by God to do that. We don't give to any other international missions. And in fact, Gateway PNG is not an international mission that we support. Gateway PNG is Gateway. It was founded and set up by Gateway people and is funded by this church largely. And we provide resources for the PNG church wherever it's needed. And in late 97, I was privileged to go back in an Army Hercules. And we bought a Toyota Hilux for Kiap secondhand here, and I convinced someone in the Army to take the truck up there, and they strapped me in alongside for the ride. One of the worst plane rides I've ever had, but a lot of fun as we hopped through cities in northern Queensland and then over to PNG. And we gave that car to Kiap. That car was a bus, a taxi, an ambulance, a tradie truck and a hearse and many other things in it. It stayed alive for 21 years. And there's me on the day I gave it to Kiap. He's very, very happy. Again, a man from the village doesn't normally own a truck, but we saw it as a great resource and he was very faithful in using it. Sadly, I have to admit or tell you that the truck died last year. But wait, there's more. The good news is that we've raised enough funds to buy another truck, and this is the new one. So Kiap thinks he's a real politician man now because he's got a four-door. Right? He's coming up in the world. He's got a great sense of humour. But it's still being used as a hearse. People will often. I've been in Kiap's house sleeping on his floor. And 3 o'clock in the morning, you get a bang on the door or a bang on the gate and you'll hear someone yell out in a language I don't understand. But basically, their wife was giving birth. And so he ran to Kiap and Kiap had to get up, take the ute and go down and lay the poor woman in the back seat and drive off to the hospital with her so that she could have her baby. And yes, he has delivered more than one child in the back of his ute over the time. A pivotal point in our connection with Pastor Kiap and PNG was a family holiday that Marcy and our children, Michael and Bethany, took 2 years later. Aren't they cute? And the little one in front is Mary. That's Kiap's youngest. We were there at the Mount Hagen Market. We travelled there and then went from Mount Hagen to Goroka, which is closer to where Kiap was born, but not super close. And we spent 10 days there, two families together, walking around town, going to the markets and meeting people, and people that Kiap wanted me to meet, significant people, and ordinary people. And it gave us time to observe the social conditions that were there, which I had not seen before. And it gave me an opportunity, Marcy and I, an opportunity to sense what God was up to in that place. As I said, there's been a fantastic foundation of missionary work in that country, but God was calling us to join in, and we wanted to know where and why. In Goroka, we also went for a walk to the shops, which are very basic and dilapidated. And as you can see, there's bars on all the windows, even at a milk bar is barred up. If you go inside, there's probably a guard in there with a big stick and or a dog. And that just tells you a little bit about the crime rate in that country and what's below the surface. I don't think that most people there had ever seen a little blonde girl before either. And many people were calling out to Bethany, movie star girl, because she had sunglasses on and she had long blonde hair. It sort of freaked her out a little bit, but it was a great experience for Michael and Bethany. They've been back many times since then and have both played a really important role in partnering with the young people in PNG and developing music and worship and other things. On that day in Goroka, we walked up a little hill slash mountain called Mount Kiss. And as we looked down on the valley, we saw just there was smoke everywhere, spiralling into the air. That's a photo I took. It's probably doesn't pick it up. You can sort of see the smoke sort of starting to fill the vista. It was a lot worse than the picture shows you, but it was so bad that the jets that normally fly into Goroka Airport were diverted. They couldn't land. There's no navigation equipment there on the ground, and so they couldn't see the runway. So it was a pretty bad day. In PNG, people light fires for cooking, for burning rubbish, and because they can, and just for fun. It's a thing that they do. But it ruined what would otherwise have been a picture postcard kind of shot up on a mountain looking across the Goroka Valley. But, you know, sometimes what's obvious is not what you're meant to see. Sometimes what's obvious is not what you're meant to see. Before leaving the hill, we had the families in tow, Kiap and I were conversing and whatever, and the girls were, you know, talking about kids and stuff. And we prayed together because we wanted to reach these people as much as we were wanting to reach people in the big city. So we just prayed, Lord, help us. Help us to reach these people. It was a very simple prayer, nothing great. At that moment, Kiap looked up and pointed up into the sky, and there were two huge eagles just soaring around on thermals, way, way above the smoke, way, way above it, up in the clear air. And he just looked at me and went, Isaiah 40. And I went, yeah, like I know all the Bible like you do sort of thing. And he goes, you know, you remember like, you know, they that wait upon the Lord will rise up on wings of eagles. And it was like a dunk. It's like, oh, I didn't see that. And in my mind, I sort of felt, God doesn't always speak in my mind like this all the time. I just want to reassure you, but at times he does. And I felt him sort of say to me, if you commit to being here, I will lift the people up above the messiness of life, you know, to a clear space where they can live free. I think Kiap must have sensed that as well, because he turned to me as we were walking away and he said, brother, it'll take a church like Gateway to make a difference here. I think he realised that Gateway had something different in terms of how it did church and how it connected culturally, and he just sensed, you know, what we'd done in Port Moresby already was totally different to, you know, what he'd been handed by others. And he was saying, it's going to take a Gateway church. And then he said something remarkable. He said, it's going to take many Gateway churches to do that. And I went, I'm thinking of one. Like, he's thinking many. So his great faith. It was a special moment, what do you call a God moment. And, you know, it was the beginning of our church movement in Papua New Guinea. This was 1999. And as the work with church planting increased, we planted several churches in different places. Not all of them took, because it's a pretty rough area and pretty transient, but we planted several churches. At that stage, Kiap, who was working for the local Baptist church, decided to leave that Baptist church and work full-time for us. And at that time, we formed Gateway Christian Churches, PNG. And that's still our logo, which we did way back then. It's a little bit 80s, but notice the eagles in the picture. It's just very significant to us. We've kept that logo since the beginning. And whilst the Vada Vada Church, coming back to Port Moresby for a moment, was Kiap's initiative and was funded by us, the local church felt very connected to it, probably because, you know, they felt they were paying Kiap a salary, and so they thought it was their church, even though they didn't really turn up to it. And so when Kiap left their church and came and worked for us, they did not permit him to continue to work in the Vada Vada church. They made promises to install another pastor and keep the church going, but it didn't work out. And sadly, the fellowship no longer meets there. The site has been abandoned and the church has been demolished. And I remember very well a few months after that happened, I turned up one of my regular trips and Kiap said, "Oh, brother, I have some bad news for you." And we walked into Vada Vada and I just saw this empty paddock and I cried. It's like, seriously. Bad things happen to good people, eh? It just told me how fragile PNG is and that I couldn't take anything for granted. God was in control and he had a plan. But it was hard to reconcile that when I saw the demolition of what I thought God wanted us to do, up on the hill with the eagles, you know, and then this. So, but out of adversity often comes triumph. And soon after that, Kiap regathered himself and started a new fellowship in his own backyard. And this is the first day that they met as a church. Many of those young people and older people came from the Vada Vada church to be with Kiap. Gateway Barocco had a humble beginnings, but it's now the flagship church in our movement with a few hundred people, several hundred children. In fact, the children outnumbered the adults in the church, and they met in Kiap's lounge room. That's just some of them. That's not all of them. There's a whole bunch of younger ones in another place. They still outnumber the adults. As I said, you know, local parents who can't get their kids into school because they're, you know, illiterate and can't afford the money, send them to Sunday school, realising that we will do a good thing for the kids. That's 2004 in Kiap's lounge room. Pretty soon a new church building was erected in his backyard and was later extended by Gateway mission teams. People too numerous to mention who have been on mission teams with me, God bless you, currently being led by Ricky Bolmers as the project officer. But here's the church with one worship leader, no instrument. I think they had a guitar. I think you can see a little cardboard box. I think I bought a guitar for them at that point, an acoustic guitar. Very, very basic kind of instruments, but people really worshipping. And if you come with me there, you'll be touched by the kind of intensity of their worship in such a terrible place. And look, the church has grown. They even have international preachers, so I'm led to believe, who come and preach occasionally. why, I don't know. Kiap's a good preacher. Over the years, Gateway has resourced PNG in many ways, and one of them is helping them build a relevant worship team, helping them build a team in worship rather than just have one person with a guitar. And here's an early shot from 2006, which Marcy, who's our worship pastor here, and my son Michael, brought the keyboard that you can see as a gift to the church, and that was one of their evenings where they were teaching them to play all together in sync, and they had a little choir on the side. And you might not notice it, but you see a young girl in a check skirt on the right of the keyboard. That's the first female worship leader in that church. They normally didn't allow women to preach or to lead worship, but Marcy somehow convinced... I don't know how she did that. Anyway, yes, I do. And so today, worship in Kiap's church is a mix of traditional PNG choruses and modern music, and you can see they still have a female worship leader and they've added drums and electric guitars and they rock out. It's just beautiful. Traditional songs and hill songs and some other choruses. that picture was taken in 2006. In that year, we started a new fellowship in another settlement away from Barocco called Moitaka. And like Vada Vada, it was an impoverished shanty town without running water, proper sanitation, electricity, or even public facilities like shops or schools. And this is inside, I know it probably all looks the same, but this is another building, a slightly bigger building that we built out at Moitaka on some land that we acquired. And this is the worship team there. You see Elizabeth in the middle there as Kiap's daughter, Kiap and the white man sitting in the front row, of course. So we were commissioning a new church, and there were several dozen people who met there. That, where that church is the site of where our school is now. We really felt God was calling us to do more to help the children who still lived in poverty around the churches. Great to plant churches, great that people came to faith, but, you know, as I often say in here, what good is your faith? What good is your faith doing in the world? And so we really felt we needed to do more. And so we formed the Gateway Children's Fund in about 2007. Big story behind that. And this is not the story of the Children's Fund today, but just to say this is a ministry that came out of the heart of Pastor Kiap and his church there. Our in-country director is Monica Kayoma. She is still our senior project officer, a young woman who's extraordinarily faithful and has a big heart for the poor. She was trained by Brenda Smith. You might remember George and Brenda were our first missionaries in PNG. And we use best international child development practice. It's not like a backyard kind of thing. It's not just a dinky kind of let's do a few little things with the kids. We deliver infant and maternal health care. We deliver preschools. We do literacy. We do community development like toilets and shower blocks and water and electricity. We feed the children every day. They get free medical and in 2 weeks' time, free dental care. I go back in a couple of weeks with local dentists from here, my dentist, who's a Christian man, and meeting up with dentists in Port Moresby, and we're going to go out to the school and check all the children's teeth for the first time they've ever been to the dentist. They think it's fun. Hey, a dentist is coming. Shh, don't tell them. Now, we do all of that without any government funding from here or in PNG, and it's all free to the kids in the school. It's quite a phenomenon. Nobody else is, to my knowledge, and I've got a reasonable knowledge now, other than the big formal schools that you'll see, nobody's doing these missional schools in the urban settlements of Port Moresby. You'll see them in the villages, of course, but this is a different kind of thing. And this, as I said, 2007, we formed the Children's Fund. In that, the decade that's followed since then, the Children's Fund has become a significant force for change in Port Moresby and a major outreach of Kiap's church. And I emphasise again, unless the church is strong, no outreach happens. No programs happen unless the church is together and well-resourced, including financially, to be able to do these kind of things. And this year, the government registered us as an early childhood learning centre. The government has no kinder program in the country. There's a couple of kinders in Port Moresby, but they're just private ones. So we are the first ever government-registered early childhood development program outside of a major college in the country. And that's all credit to Kiap, and of course he would give the credit, of course, to Christ. And this development centre works with children under five to eliminate the tragic effects that I've already shared of poverty on children and their families. The school is developed from that one classroom that you see there, which was in a little container building, like a shipping container. We now have a school and we have a principal. On the left there is Mr. Jimmy. You can see our buildings in the back are very colourful. We paint them that colour deliberately. It's the same colour as our logo to bring light and life to the children. And of course, a rainbow is a symbol of hope in the scriptures. Works really nice because the Gateway Children's Fund is an outpost of hope. That's the motto that we're trying to bring. And we have three admin staff, a gardener and a security man and administrator. And we have 13 teachers, not all there. You can see the little... but the white lady behind them is Trish Swenson, who's an elder in our church. She's also the director of education, working with me, K connecting to the school to improve school standards there. She's doing a great job volunteering to do that. We now have 9 buildings and 250 children regularly in that program. There's 100 babies-ish. It's like trying to herd cats, but anyway. And preschoolers. And then there's about 150 kids from kinder to grade 3. And we're currently in the process of registering the school part of it so that we can go kinder to grade 6. Next year we go to grade 3, the year after grade 4, grade 5, follow the kids through and stop at primary school grade 6. And again, all fruit of Pastor Kiap's ministry. Most of those teachers are not fully qualified, official kind of teachers. I think we have 3 or 4. And the rest of them are teachers' helpers, but they've learned and have been trained to teach literacy to children. We have a program we use, which was developed by us and others, and they teach it to the children. There's only 25 kids in a classroom with 2 teachers, an experienced one and a not-so-experienced one. That's about half the number of kids there you can see in the picture. The classrooms have fans, and they actually have chairs and tables and chalkboards and teachers in them. And the people at the back of that picture are people from Global Development Group who are our DFAT or our AusAid accreditors. They came in, they audit the program fully for everything from finance through to how many fleas live there. We get a triple A rating with Global Development Group, which we're very stoked about. And I said, the Children's Fund is awesome, and many of you support the Children's Fund financially. We couldn't get by without you doing that. Please keep doing that. But today we want to launch the iHeart PNG appeal, Christmas appeal, which is for the church. So it's not tax deductible, so there's a big sacrifice already for some of you. But it's for Pastor Kiap and the churches. Now, over the years, Gateway Melbourne has backed Pastor Kiap 100%. I was there. I'll be there in a couple of weeks, which will be my 9th trip this year. I normally make at least 6 or 7. And Kiap and I are talking constantly about the future and what's happening and what's needed. And he does a great job with a small team and not as many resources as we have. And so this is a pastors and leaders conference that we ran up in Goroka 1 year. And I had another pastoral mate in the back row, Mark Ansell, and another mate come up and help me do some teaching. We also do leaders. This is back in Port Moresby, just some of the local leaders. We were training in basic leadership skills that we take for granted. These are all really strong men and women, and we put into them as much as we can. And we even have some college graduates from Goroka. There's a university in Goroka, and here's several of them, I think there were 9 in total, who were going off to Bible college. And a few of them finished up being pastors in churches. I couldn't tell you which ones there, but we're doing that, funding and resourcing and calling people out to do that. So that's the past, but we need to launch the church into the future. I think it has a glorious future in Christ. And I really believe, and Kiap believes, that God is up to something, always is, and there's something new coming down the pipe. And we need to raise funds over and above what we've been giving to train pastors and leaders like these young people to plant churches among the poor where churches are not being planted in the cities, and to provide material resources to help disciple people in their faith. And all of that is going to take funding. But the good news is the future is already here. Let me introduce you to Pastor John Meck, who's baptising someone at the Goroka Church. John is a man in his mid-40s. I've known him since he was a young adult. He's a martial arts expert, and so he's great at taking up offerings. He's hard as a rock. He's just a lovely, lovely man, and he and his wife have relaunched the church in Goroka. In the town where God originally gave Kiap and I the vision for planting churches. It's come back full circle, you see. Before we go on to the other pictures, I just want to read a letter that came just a few weeks ago from one of John's leaders who had a smartphone and could do Facebook, right? So he says, "Hello, My name is Norman, a part of the Gateway Real Life Churches in PNG, which is now Goroka Gateway Family Church. We are about to open our newly church. I'll just read it as he wrote it. We're about to open our newly church, which we church members prayed so long for a church to be built. With the help of the church members, we did a mini church. All I want to say is thank you to the members of the Victorian Melbourne Gateway Church members for praying for the growing churches of PNG. Here below are some of the images captured. Thank and God bless Goroka Family Church associated with Gateway Real Life. He really wanted to push that point. And so let's have a look at Pastor John standing outside with his guys. They built like a shack on we own land in Goroka, and he is doing that. That's what the shed sort of looks like. And it's being formed. It's not fully finished there, but they did some nice things inside and even put lino down on the dirt. So, and that's he and his wife. And then there's the first prayer meeting that preceded the first service. Kiap and I are going up there in January to commission that church in Goroka. But wait, there's more. There's a young family called the Kenner family, Joshua and Elizabeth and little Samuel. Elizabeth is Kiap's daughter, and we were at their wedding a couple of years ago. Joshua was a worship leader at Gateway Church where Kiap is the pastor, and then went off to Bible College and joined the AOG as a youth pastor. Next year, he completes his degree in theology. Elizabeth herself has a diploma of business that she did at a college in Port Moresby. Some of you may remember she came to live with us for many months in Australia while she was completing a theology diploma here through the Gateway Life Training Institute, and sent her back. Now she's married Joshua, and they're coming back at the end of next year to become Kiap's first associates, and our prayer is that they will continue on the church once Kiap and I decide to fade and sit under trees and tell stories. It's just good news. It's just good news, and the future is here. So Kiap and I have known each other for over 30 years, and we're a little bit whiter and a little bit balder than we were at the start. He's actually got a bald spot on the back, which he covers quite well. But it's not just about Kiap and I, obviously. This is his family at Elizabeth's wedding day. Kiap on the right, myself, Marcy, Elizabeth, and then Anjum, Kiap's wife, and then Princess, his eldest daughter, and Joe, his son, and Mary is also there, but she's taking the photo. We love PNG. God loves PNG. It's been a lot of missional work there over 150 years or more. But God is giving us work to do, and I sense there's more work to be done. We're going to stand on the shoulders of those missionaries who went before us and continue the good work of Jesus in that country, particularly among the poor, where it's not easy or popular to plant churches and resource them and things like that. They are Gateway, and there is no plan B for them. We're plan A to Z for them, and there's no plan B. They're ministering amongst poor, illiterate, mostly unemployed people. I think 60 or 70% of the country are unemployed. How would that go down here? About the same number of people, not unsurprisingly, are totally illiterate. They can't read or write even in their mother tongue. And so we're starting the iHeart PNG Christmas appeal between now and about the 16th of December. And you'll see on your seat or in your information pack, you might want to take out that little iHeart PNG envelope and have a look at it for me. You can give by cash or card or directly to the bank account. If you have any questions, please contact our office during the week. We're more than happy to answer any questions that you have. And we're asking for extra giving above what you might have put in the offering plate today or what you might do in the future. We're asking for a lump sum extra on top of that, because there's not much point just swapping money from one account to the other. There's no advantage to that. And we would love it if everybody participated, you know, kids, families, particularly people with businesses. You know, we feel they have a real role to play in helping to resource this. And we've set a target of $50,000 Australian before Christmas. It's not a huge amount of money in a church of this size. I mean, we're close to, well, we're well over 1,000 people, so it shouldn't be too hard. But we're just putting it out there. It's the first time, as I said, that we've done a major appeal for our PNG churches, but we feel now the time is right to help launch them into the future. And can I just say, Gateway is a generous church. You know, there's a lot of generosity in this place. I know people give regularly here to the church, which also supports the overseas church. People give to the children's fund. We couldn't do that without you. Thank you to all those people who give in that way, whether you give cash or whether you do it online. And can I just say that our church here is growing. We have new people here every week. I met some more today. Every week there are new people, often many new people every week. And, you know, the opportunities and the needs in this church are there for anybody who has eyes to see. But as happens sometimes, you know, our funding falls behind our growth. And that's where we are at the moment. Our expenses are sort of running ahead of where we'd like our funds to be. So we're not in a place just to sort of write blank checks and send them over to PNG at the minute. So we need to take up this offering if you're wondering about it. The opportunities here and in PNG are amazing. And the opportunities are now. And how many of you know that considering giving is not only countercultural, it's always inconvenient? I know that. Marcy and I are going to give into that fund ourselves, and we understand the dynamics because we live in the real world. But can I encourage you to praise God for the opportunities that we have? How good is it that after 30 years we have churches and we have a primary school running there and we have a children's fund and all those faithful local people, all run by local people. I'm the only white guy that keeps interrupting them, but all nationally raised up, you know, and trained and in place, and they're praying for us because they know, Pastor Kiap knows that we're going to launch an appeal. He didn't ask me to, but he knows about it, so they'll be praying for you as you consider what God might want you to give. So let's pray for the opportunities. Let's thank God for his goodness to us as a church. How good is it to be in a dynamic church like this? And let's pray and thank God for Pastor Kiap's faithfulness. So, like, he's been in ministry almost as long as me, and he's still at it in a third world country, hard conditions. Let's pray for a great harvest to come, can we? And let's pray as the Apostle Paul prayed for the early church, which you can read in the first chapter of Philemon, where he tells the church, I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. It's a good deal, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you would trust us enough to give us these opportunities and these ministries, not only here in this city, where we have the opportunity to change the spiritual climate, but in a foreign land, in a third world country like Papua New Guinea. So many people living in poverty there. So much work has been done, so much work still to be done. Help us to take our place. Help us to see the opportunity and grab it. Help us to be generous so that we can fully fund what we need to do next year. In the future, we don't know, but we know about today and we know what we can do. Be with us, Lord, as we each decide what generosity looks like in our mind as we stand before you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.